Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 456, titled Compendium on Nazi and Fascist Connections to September 11th. This is being recorded on April 18th of the year 2004. WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio, more recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, older programs available for download only, also on Real Audio, at a longer URL linked to both the www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word. Within a week or so of the airing of this program, there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record Program 456 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. Frequently, those descriptions contain information that I did not have time to fit into the original broadcast, as well as links to key articles, so listeners should be sure to follow up on those descriptions. Again, For the Record section, www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire stocks all of the various programs and lectures that I've done over the years. I do not get money from the arrangement with Spitfire. Be aware that the www.spitfirelist.com website is now equipped with a search function, so you can search the detailed descriptions that I'm putting together. And also, we now feature the landmark text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, by Paul Manning. That is available for download for free on the Spitfire website. Now, as I have done for the last two programs, this broadcast is a compendium in which I am grouping together information for the most part, although not exclusively, presented in previous broadcasts, so that listeners can have some of this key information grouped in a single entity. From my conversations with listeners, it seems that that is something that will help a lot of the members of the audience to get a handle on this vitally important but extremely complex event. We're going to begin by reviewing some information that we've looked at. Now, this is sort of an entree into the subject of Nazi and fascist connections to September 11th, taking a look at two of the people that are involved with the Al-Taqwa Milieu. That's the Bank of the Muslim Brotherhood that we looked at last week. And bear in mind the historical and ideological fascist connections to the Muslim Brotherhood and Bank Al-Taqwa. One of the people who looms in the background of Al-Taqwa, not necessarily directly involved with Al-Taqwa, although possibly centrally involved with Al-Taqwa, but one of the people whose names crops up in connection with Al-Taqwa is the late François Genoux, a key operative of the Third Reich in the pre-World War II, World War II, and post-World War II periods. Originally a Swiss national, Genoux was very close to the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. He also was very much involved with the diaspora of Nazi war criminals abroad, helped to distribute the Third Reich's finances in the post-war period, and has come to the fore defending a potpourri of individuals ranging from Klaus Barbie and other Nazis. He helped to finance the defense of Adolf Eichmann in Jerusalem. Genoux has also been very active in the Muslim and Arab world and has also helped to defend far-left-wing terrorists in Europe as well. In an article about François Genoux called Hitler's Swiss Connection, David Lee Preston wrote in the Philadelphia Inquirer of January 5, 1997, "In the preface to the Martin Bormann document, Hitler's Table Talk, Genoux wrote that Hitler wanted the people of the Third World to carry on the work of the Thousand-Year Reich." And then describing an article from a passage from the article The Swastika and the Crescent by Martin A. Lee, published in the Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence report in spring of 2002. As Germany's defeat loomed during the final months of World War II, Adolf Hitler increasingly lapsed into delusional fits of fantasy. Albert Speer, in his prison writings, recounts an episode in which a maniacal Hitler, quote, pictured for himself and for us the destruction of New York in a hurricane of fire. The Nazi Führer described skyscrapers turning into gigantic burning torches, collapsing one upon another, the glow of the exploding city illuminating the dark sky, unquote. An approximation of Hitler's hellish vision came true on September 11th, when terrorists destroyed the Twin Towers in New York, killing nearly 3,000 people. And of another of the Al-Taqwa principals, another Swiss-born Nazi affiliate, this Ahmed Huber, born Armand Friedrich Huber, We read this coming from the article Unlikely Allies Bound by a Common Hatred. That was authored by Peter Finn. It appeared in the Washington Post of April 29th of 2002. By his, Ahmed Huber's account, a group of aging SS officers and members of Hitler's personal guard, who meet every few weeks in the German state of Bavaria for beer and conversation, recently bestowed the title Honorary Prussian upon bin Laden. They praised his valiant fight against the United States, Huber said. One of the members called Huber after the meeting to tell him that henceforth they had decided to call the Al-Qaeda leader Herr von Laden, Huber said. Well, in these somewhat anecdotal accounts, we can see an embodiment of what I believe is arguably the most important aspect of the September 11th attacks, namely the pivotal role played by Nazi and fascist elements in not only the attacks themselves, but also in the events surrounding the attacks and the milieu that appears to have underlain those attacks. Now, in our last broadcast, we looked at not only the fascist history, but the fascist ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Bank al-Taqwa is reported by investigators to be centrally involved with the financing of al-Qaeda and other Islamist terrorist groups, including Hamas. The Bank al-Taqwa is the main financial organ of the Muslim Brotherhood, and again, we went into the Brotherhood's fascist ideology. It's combining of fascist economics with Islamist theory in our last broadcast. We also looked at the fact that Youssef Nada, the head of Bank al-Taqwa, had, according to the book Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere, been a Third Reich intelligence agent in World War II. What we're going to look at now is an item that we looked at first in For the Record program number 416. We're going to excerpt an article called Islamism, Fascism, and Terrorism. This is a four-part series by Mark Erickson. It appeared in the Asia Times in November of 2002. Part two appeared on November 5th of 2002, and in this particular article, again, Islamism, Fascism, and Terrorism by Mark Erickson of the Asia Times, an interesting detail is presented about Youssef Nada. Another valued World War II Nazi collaborator was Youssef Nada, current board chairman of al-Taqwa, Nada Management, the Lugano, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, and Bahamas-based financial services outfit accused by the U.S. Treasury Department of money laundering for and financing of bin Laden's al-Qaeda. As a young man, he had joined the armed branch of the secret apparatus, al-Jihaz al-Siri of the Muslim Brotherhood, and then was recruited by German military intelligence. When Grand Mufti el-Husseini had to flee Germany in 1945 as the Nazi defeat loomed, Nada reportedly was instrumental in arranging the escape via Switzerland back to Egypt and eventually Palestine, where el-Husseini resurfaced in 1946. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem himself, as we've seen in many past broadcasts, held the rank of major in the SS, was a key Axis spy working for both primarily Nazi Germany but also fascist Japan, and the Grand Mufti was instrumental in recruiting Muslims to the fascist cause. In turn, the Nazi alliance with the Grand Mufti was an outgrowth of the geopolitical theory of the Earth Island. This is central to an understanding of how these seemingly strange political bedfellows of Muslims and Arabs, often despised by white supremacists and neo-Nazis, and the Third Reich, and also underground Reich elements and so-called neo-Nazi elements in the post-war period, this strange alignment, this collaboration between strange political bedfellows, is an outgrowth of the Earth Island theory. Quickly, if one looks at a map or globe, there is one giant stretch of land running from the Straits of Gibraltar all the way across Europe, Eastern Europe, encompassing most of the Middle East, the former Soviet Union, India, China, and Pakistan. That giant landmass was termed the Earth Island, and it contains most of the world's land, most of the world's population, most of the world's mineral resources, including most of the world's proven petroleum reserves. And across the middle of it, running from Eastern Europe and the Balkans all the way across the Middle East, and again parts of the former Soviet Union, India, Pakistan, and China, is a vast stretch of land inhabited largely by Muslim populations. At the end of World War I, actually really before that, but during the World War I and post-World War I period, Nazi theoreticians and German geopoliticians looked at that area and saw an alliance between the German and Nazi forces and some of the Muslim populations of the Earth Island as an ideal vehicle for controlling the world. They believed if they controlled the Earth Island, they would control the world. And with a combination of anti-imperialist sentiment in the period between the wars, with the Middle East largely being either French or British colonies, with anti-Semitism being a common bond, with a desire to split off some of the Soviet Central Asian republics from the then Soviet Union, and in the background with a desire to use the Muslim populations of the world, Arabs in particular, as an anti-American cadre, the alliance between the swastika and the crescent was formed. And we're going to be taking a look at how that alliance has played out, the role that it appears to have played in the events in and around September 11th. And one of the important things to be looking at concerns networking. We're going to be looking at networking between Third Reich elements such as Youssef Nada and so-called neo-Nazi elements in the U.S. and Europe, and in turn, those elements' alliances with Islamists in the Middle East and around the world. I also want to call people's attention to connections between elements in the so-called overworld and the so-called underworld. We're going to be taking a look at neo-Nazis, usually viewed as part of the underworld, and we're going to take a look at how they fit into this mosaic, and we're going to take a look at evidentiary tributaries connecting them with relatively powerful economic and political figures in the overworld. Now, one of the people who, like Youssef Nada, again, Third Reich intelligence agent and head of the bank Al-Taqwa, accused by numerous investigative authorities of helping to finance Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, one of the principal people involved with Al-Taqwa is the aforementioned Ahmed Huber, nay Friedrich Armand Huber, Swiss-German, basically. An individual who is a director of Bank Al-Taqwa and who himself embodies something of a link between some of the elements of the overworld and some of the elements of the underworld, and also a link between the past and the present. In the description for the Record 456, there will be links to numerous articles, including three very important articles about the Al-Taqwa milieu by Kevin Coogan, the author of Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International that we've used so often in the past. In Kevin Coogan's article, The Mysterious Ahmed Huber, Friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden, he sums up some of the many connections of Ahmed Huber. Ahmed Huber was heavily influenced by the aforementioned Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, and he also networked with François Genoux. Another of the main influences on Ahmed Huber was a guy named Johann von Leers. Von Leers had been the director of anti-Semitic propaganda for Joseph Goebbels' Third Reich propaganda ministry. He later was part of the Nazi diaspora to the Middle East. He converted to Islam, changed his name to Omar Amin von Leers. By the way, Huber also converted to Islam and went to work for Nasser and survived until 1965. Von Leers was a major influence on Ahmed Huber, as was the Grand Mufti. And again, former Third Reich intelligence agent Youssef Nada, head of Bank Al-Taqwa, defendant in the $1 trillion lawsuit by survivors of September 11th, helped the Grand Mufti to escape from Germany to the Middle East. In Kevin Coogan's article, Mysterious Ahmed Huber, Friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden, he describes some of Ahmed Huber's many connections and background as follows. After spending more time in the Middle East, Huber abandoned his earlier pro-Israeli views with a vengeance. He told the French investigative journalist Pierre Payen that in 1965 he began to accept the views of the Egyptian-based Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Amin al-Husseini, who gave Huber a, quote, totally different version, unquote, of the history and nature of the Third Reich. The Grand Mufti knew Hitler personally and actively collaborated with the Axis powers in World War II. The Mufti was even responsible for creating the Bosnian-based 13th Waffen-SS Division that was composed of Muslim recruits. Parenthetically, I would note that the Grand Mufti also helped to recruit the 21st and 23rd Waffen-SS Divisions, two other Balkan Muslim SS divisions. 21st was Skanderbeg, composed largely of ethnic Albanian Muslims from Kosovo. The 23rd Waffen-SS Division was the Kama Division, also composed largely of Bosnian Muslims. We're going to come back to the influence of the Grand Mufti and his SS legions in the Balkans. We're going to take a look at contemporary outcroppings of this legacy later on in the broadcast. Again, turning back to Huber. Huber further told Payen that, while he was in Egypt, he also grew close to Johann von Leers, a fanatical Jew-hater, former Nazi propaganda ministry official, and the Grand Mufti's good friend. Leers had relocated to Egypt in the mid-1950s, where he converted to Islam and changed his name to Umar Amin von Leers. He remained in Cairo until his death in 1965, helping to direct Nasser's propaganda apparatus, which regularly churned out Nazi-like anti-Semitic propaganda throughout the Arab world. Back in Switzerland, Huber next became close friends with the Swiss banker François Genoux, whom Huber recalls first meeting in pro-Arab associations, unquote. Best known for funding SS butcher Klaus Barbie's legal defense team, Genoux held the legal copyright to writings by Hitler, Goebbels, and Martin Bormann. Genoux, who committed suicide in 1996, is also believed to have played a key role in the post-war management of Nazi funds. In the late 1960s, he also worked closely with the radical Palestinian groups, particularly the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, or PFLP. Along with organizing legal support for captured PFLP militants, he even helped coordinate the PFLP's hijacking of a Lufthansa Boeing 747 en route from Delhi to Aden. Through his ties to the PFLP's leader, Dr. Wadi Haddad, who affectionately dubbed him Sheikh François, Genoux befriended Ilyich Ramirez Sanchez, better known as Carlos the Jackal. Both men remained in close contact right up to Genoux's death. By the way, the wife-to-be of Carlos the Jackal, a woman named Isabelle Coutant-Père, is a law partner of Jacques Vergès, another Genoux protégé, who was reported to be moving in the direction of representing Saddam Hussein in his supposedly upcoming war crimes trial. By the way, I would note that one of the passengers on that Lufthansa Boeing 747 that was hijacked was Robert Kennedy Jr., of all people. Continuing. At the same time, Genoux was developing close ties to the leftist PFLP. Huber was actively promoting pro-Arab views inside the Swiss left. While working as a social democratic journalist whose beat was the Swiss parliament, he became involved with the Bern Nonconformists. The nonconformists were a mix of 1960s counterculture activists, poets, painters, and new leftists. Inside the nonconformists, Huber used leftist rhetoric to push an anti-American, anti-Israeli, and strongly neutralist line. In the 1970s, however, he found it increasingly difficult to operate inside the left. The Swiss Socialist Party finally expelled Huber in 1994 for Khomeinism, anti-feminism, and contact with radical rightists, unquote. Huber's statements regarding September 11th reflect a broader consensus inside the far right. They also echo the remarks of his friend Horst Mahler, a former leader of the far-left terrorist group the Rote Armee Fraktion, or RAF, also known as the Baader-Meinhof Gang, who is today a leading spokesman for the far-right National Demokratische Partei Deutschland, or NPD, parenthetically, the top German neo-Nazi party. Shortly after the World Trade Center attack, Mahler issued a statement entitled Independence Day Live. In it, he argued that 9/11 marked the end of the American century, the end of global capitalism, unquote, and with it, the end of the secular Yahweh cult of Mammonism, unquote. Huber is also a popular speaker at NPD events. On October 11, 2000, for example, he addressed the 7th European Congress of the NPD's youth organization, the Junge Nationaldemokraten, or JN, on the topic Islam and the New Right, unquote. By the way, I would note that Horst Mahler, when he was working for the Baader-Meinhof gang, was also part of a milieu, namely the Baader-Meinhof gang, that was receiving aid from François Genoux. I would also note the NPD, the top German so-called neo-Nazi party, is very closely affiliated with the American National Alliance, the top American so-called neo-Nazi party, and an institution that we're going to look at later on in the program. What we're going to look at next concerns François Genoux and the extent to which his name crops up in connection with the events around September 11th. Again, bear in mind that the bank Altaqua was described as being an institution that helped to fund Al-Qaeda. A U.S. Treasury Department report said that Bank Altaqua was actually of aid to Al-Qaeda after September 11th. Of the relationship between Ahmed Huber and François Genoux, we read, turning to the book Dollars for Terror, The United States and Islam, "During his many tribulations, Ahmed Huber became acquainted with the neo-Nazi banker François Genoux, whose path in life presents a singular summary of the interconnections, the specific alliances that have been tied and untied between Islam and the swastika. Pierre Payen, who thoroughly studied the parallel lies of this enigmatic destiny, interviewed Ahmed Huber at length. Ahmed Huber explained to him that he is sympathetic to François Genoux because everyone jumps on him," unquote. Still referring to the neo-Nazi banker, Huber told Payen, "I never asked him any questions, but I noted that in circles as different as the German right, the Islamic movements of Asia, the Palestinians, and in the Maghreb, people speak of him with great respect." By the way, the Maghreb refers to Algeria and Morocco and Tunisia, some of the North African Mediterranean Islamic countries. Beginning again, "I never asked him any questions, but I noted that in circles as different as the German right, the Islamic movements of Asia, the Palestinians, and in the Maghreb, people speak of him with great respect. Everyone told me he helped us. I have the impression that he played an important, though discreet, role. It was I who introduced him," meaning Genoux, "to the Iranians. I said to them, 'He is a friend. You can trust him.' Here in Switzerland, he was very active in opposing the anti-racist law inspired by the Zionists who wanted to criminalize revisionism," unquote. I would also note that in an article that we're about to excerpt from the San Francisco Chronicle of March 12th of 2002, François Genoux, and by the way, that article was excerpted at considerable length in For the Record 352, François Genoux was described as having financed the Ayatollah Khomeini's exile in France. This article also alleged that Genoux was heavily involved with the founding of Bank Altaqua. The article "Swiss Probe Anti-U.S. Nazi" by Jay Bushinsky, it appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle of March 12th of 2002. And of the allegation that François Genoux helped to found Bank Altaqua, we read, "Authorities believe Genoux founded Bank Altaqua and allocated its resources to support international terrorists such as Vladimir Ilyich Ramirez, alias Carlos the Jackal, and bin Laden." If this allegation is true, it would suggest that Ahmed Huber, who at one point was meeting with Genoux on an almost daily basis, and perhaps Youssef Nader as well, were functioning as cutouts for Genoux and, beyond that, the underground Reich. It was also alleged by European money laundering expert Ernest Backes that organizations set up by François Genoux were not only involved in helping to finance the activities of September 11th, but also involved in some of the security speculation that appears to have taken place. Furthermore, Backes states that François Genoux had been a financial advisor to the bin Laden family. These allegations were contained in a radio interview that was given by Ernest Backes to Rolf Bovier and Pierre Matthias of Bayerischer Rundfunk Online. That article/broadcast is titled "Insider Trading Prior to the Attacks in the U.S., Speculating on Terror, Who Profited from the Attacks?" It was done on September 25th of 2001. Of the relationship between François Genoux and the bin Laden family, whom Bacchus alleges were financial, had Francois Genoux as one of their financial advisors, and of the alleged connections of Francois Genoux to the funding conduits that helped to finance September 11th and engaged in security speculation, we read, "Financial expert Ernest Bacchus of Luxembourg has studied white-collar crime in the field of banking for many years. According to him, there are indications of unusual transactions with which the groups associated with bin Laden could have earned money. You can, for example, examine whether within a certain period of time there's been an attack against the securities of a given airline company. Since these securities are safe in a clearing system, you can't get an overall view who the owner was at a given time. According to Bacca's information, the trail leads to Switzerland, to the accounts of an organization that was founded by the late lawyer Francois Genoux and evidently still survives," says Bacchus. "One of the grounds for accusation is that this Swiss attorney had the closest connections with the bin Laden family, that he was an advisor to the bin Laden family, one of its investment bankers. It's known for certain that he supported terrorism and was the estate executor for Hitler and part of the terror milieu, and an associate of, friend of, and lawyer for Francois Genoux, a fellow named Baudin Dunant, is a member of the board of directors of SECO, the Saudi investment company. That is the European-based holding company headed up by Islam bin Laden, bin Laden's half-brother, and which serves as one of the major managerial points of control for the vast bin Laden business empire. This information comes from the book In the Name of Osama Bin Laden by Roland Jacquard, published in soft cover by Duke University Press, copyright 2002. Speaking of SECO, Baudin Dunant and his connection to Genoux, "This company, established by the Bin Ladens in 1980, is the flagship for the group's activities in Europe. It is headed by Islam Bin Laden, and the board of directors is made up almost exclusively of members of the family clan, except for a Swiss citizen, Baudin Dunant. This well-known lawyer from French-speaking Switzerland, who is on the boards of several dozen companies, came to public notice in 1983 when he agreed to represent the Swiss banker Francois Genoux, a controversial figure who had been a disciple of Hitler and sole heir of Goebbels' copyrights before becoming one of the financiers of the FLN during the Algerian War. The friendships of the bin Ladens sometimes seem surprising, but they are logical. Francois Genoux has always been pro-Arab." So again, in addition to the allegation from the Chronicle article that Francois Genoux actually was behind the founding of Bank al-Taqwa, certainly close to Ahmed Huber, in addition to the allegation by Ernest Bacchus that Genoux-founded institutions were involved with the funding of September 11th and allegedly profited from some of the security speculation, and in addition to the fact that, according to Bacchus, Genoux was a financial advisor to the bin Laden family, note that friend and legal and professional associate of Francois Genoux, Baudin Dunant, is a member of the board of directors of SECO, the European holding company that is one of the principal focal points of the bin Laden business empire. Islam bin Laden denies any connection with his half-brother's terrorist activities, but European investigators disagree. We'll deal with this more inside two of the program. Remember that WFMU is archiving the programs on Real Audio, more recent programs streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only at a longer URL linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. There will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record 456 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website within a week or so of the airing of this program. Note that at the beginning of each For the Record description, there's a page to click on for people who would like to assist the work that I'm doing. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 456, Compendium on Nazi and Fascist Connections to September 11th. This is being recorded on April 18th of 2004. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.